Nothing will change unless we have the guts to take on Wall Street, the insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the military industrial complex, and the fossil fuel industry. If we don't have the guts to take them on, we'll continue to have plans, we'll continue to have talk, and the rich will get richer, and everybody else will be struggling.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Most every Monday, our friend Ryan Nobles is good enough to give us some time before he goes off and covers every story CNN's ever had on the air. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. Good morning. Thanks for having me on, as always.
I know you're spending a lot of time running the road, running yourself ragged with Bernie. Does Bernie ever sound like he's not yelling?
No, he really doesn't. I think even in just regular conversations, and I think that's an example of where, you know, I actually pitched a story to CNN this week about, and the way I described it is same old Bernie. Like, the thing about Bernie is he's been the same guy that he's been for the past 40 years. That's part of why people are drawn to him. They like that consistency. But it also can be frustrating for his campaign because I think they probably like to kind of change him a little bit on the edges to make him more amenable to a certain crop of voters that wouldn't even be interested in him. And that style, the fact that he, you know, and I think you're referring mainly to the debate, where when he makes a point, he yells at that point, that could potentially turn some people off, and he's just not going to change. That's just how he is.
Have you ever seen him with grandchildren?
But I have not actually. Well, no, that's not true. His grandchildren were with him, I think, during one of the open. They weren't in Chicago, but I think they were in Brooklyn. He actually is very soft and has a very kind of warm sense about him when he's with his grandchildren. There's actually a couple of videos, if you look on his wife's Twitter feed and her Instagram, Jane Sanders, around Father's and Mother's Day, she has video of him playing softball and baseball with the grandkid in the backyard. And it's actually pretty funny to see him there, you know, just as an average grandpa in love with his grandkids. He certainly is. He brings his grandkids up a lot on the campaign trail.
It'd be funny if he had game, wouldn't it? If he was like all stick, no glove, or the other way around.
He's surprisingly athletic. He, you know, he plays basketball quite a bit. The other thing too about him is he's in remarkable shape for somebody his age. He's skinny. He moves quickly. His energy appears to be limitless. I was with him this weekend. I think he did six different events in New Hampshire, and by Sunday night, the last event, that he would have slowed down. I think he spoke the longest at that last event on Sunday. He seems to, I don't know where this energy comes from, but it appears to be limitless.
So he, Trump, and Biden, 100-yard dash, who you got?
Jeez, that's a good question. I wouldn't count Bernie out. You know, right. He's not fast necessarily, but he would definitely might have the most stamina of the three. I can't believe we're having this conversation. Getting from start to finish, he'd be like the turtle. You know what I mean? Maybe the other two might get out quicker, but Bernie would be there at the end, I think.
Trump at 60 yards would wait for the limo to pick him up, take him the rest of the way. Biden would stop and say hi to everybody, and Bernie would win.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's funny you say that because I marched in a pride parade with him in Nashua on Saturday, and he's not one of these politicians that kind of runs back and forth to either side and shakes hands. He stays in the middle and waves. So he's all about getting to that destination. That's Bernie's MO.
Hello, hello, hello. it's Ryan Nobles from CNN. All right, over the weekend, the President of the United States sidled up to the leader of Saudi Arabia, who all of our intelligence agencies say absolutely signed off on the murder of an American journalist or a journalist who worked for the Washington Post here in America. He also spent some quality time with Vladimir Putin joking about election interference and then had a little dessert when he did a bro hug of sorts with Kim Jong-un and was the first American president to set foot in what is North Korea. You can't make it up. And yet we get up on a Monday morning and we go, oh, yeah, well, that's Trump. What is the word inside Washington on this?
I think there's a lot of people scratching their heads, particularly on the North Korea situation, as to what comes next. By all accounts, this decision by President Trump to go to the DMZ and invite Kim Jong-un down was very improvisational. It was one of these things where, at the last minute, Trump suggested that he do it, put it on his Twitter feed. you know, they put some sort of entries out to the North Koreans to see if Kim Jong-un would be interested in it. But there was nothing tied to it other than the photo op. And, you know, I don't think we can understate the value of the photo op. I think it was certainly significant that a president took this step. But I think what you're hearing a lot of people say in the foreign relations field in Washington is, okay, that's great, but what does it mean? And if you saw the New York Times article this morning, they're suggesting that perhaps one of the potential strategies by the Trump administration would basically to create a scenario where it's a hold harmless, where we essentially recognize North Korea as a nuclear power, but then agree that they don't proliferate it any more than where it already exists. And that would be a sharp turn in American foreign policy. Now, John Bolton's already out this morning kind of poo-pooing that, saying that that's not a potential option. But I think what it shows is we don't really know what the Trump administration's plan is for that part of the world, and that includes China, you know, this whole situation with the trade negotiations there. So, you know, the photo op, Trump, nobody does a photo op better than Trump, but I think the next question is, where's the substance behind this, and what does this ultimately lead to?
Well, my biggest problem with it, aside from the fact that he did it, is because the guy's a murderer, is that I don't know what we get out of it. I mean, what's in it? What's in it for us? I mean, clearly, it's good for Kim Jong-un and his little murderous thug family and friends. But what's in it for us?
Right. Well, it's funny you mention that because if I go back through all of my time covering Bernie Sanders, I think the only time that he's ever complimented Donald Trump on any level is that he does give him credit for opening up a channel of communication with Kim Jong-un. But then, you know, takes it a step further and talks about how he's disappointed in the lack of substance, and also that it seems to be that President Trump saddles up to these authoritarian leaders. He seems to be willing to have conversations with them, but then doesn't want to do it with other different groups and puts up a big wall. I think there's a bunch of things that the administration would say that there's a benefit to. I think one of the biggest things pushing the Trump administration to get involved in these negotiations is the South Korean government. You know, the Moon administration is very much open to some sort of a reconciliation with North Korea. They are sick of kind of this Cold War that's taken place on that peninsula for some time, and they're one of our biggest allies in the region. So I think that, you know, I don't think that this would happen if there wasn't that push from South Korea. And, you know, I do think that President Trump's perspective on all of this is, we've tried this kind of isolation policy with North Korea, where we've strangled them in terms of economic resources and sanctions. You know, that's been the MO for the past 40 to 50 years, and it hasn't worked. We got to try something different. So, you know, Donald Trump's MO is, let's try something different. But I think you're correct in the criticism that what he's up until this point is given everything that Kim Jong-un wants. He wants to be recognized on a global stage. He wants to be able to shake hands with the President of the United States. That empowers him with his hermit kingdom, where all they know is that Kim Jong-un is like some divine cult of personality. And at this point, there's no evidence at all that he's given the United States anything in return. And I think that's why you're seeing this push. Like, what's next? What are you actually getting out of this?
Yeah, and I'll let you go on this. There is considerable talk that the staff was completely surprised by the tweet, "Hey, Kimmer, why don't we meet at the border and hang out?" And then once he put it out in public, they were forced to follow through. Is there any reason to believe that story?
Well, we do know that kind of the main diplomatic point of contact in the White House and in, with North Korea did have some sort of, you know, behind-the-scenes secret negotiations to make this happen. The timing of all of that, whether it came before or after the tweet, we don't know. But we do know it was within pretty short order, like the last week or so. This isn't something that's been planned for months. But to your point about how a good part of his national security apparatus was completely clueless about it, John Bolton wasn't even there. He'd already moved on to Mongolia because he has a pretty robust plan. And, you know, you can take that for what it's worth. Was it because he already had planned to go somewhere else, or was it because the president was purposely freezing Bolton out of his negotiations because Bolton tends to be more of a hawk on these issues? So it just kind of lends itself to this idea of a little bit of chaos and diplomacy shooting by the hip from the hip with this president, because it doesn't appear that everybody in his administration was on the same page. And like everything with Trump, if he wants to do something, he just goes and does it. And I think that's what we saw here this week.
It's the great Ryan Nobles, off covering everything that needs to be covered today. See him on CNN and follow him on social media. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week and a happy 4th of July.
Yeah, and to you as well.